I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of I Love Islam, and you're watching this program, make sure you stay tuned, watch this program till the end, because like always, we have some beautiful segments and packed schedule, inshallah, in the studio. We will be joined by some kids, and alhamdulillah, mashallah, some little guests have already arrived in the studio. We're gonna get them wired up, we're gonna put a mic on them, we're gonna get them to sit on the seat as well, inshallah. Then we're gonna talk to them as well, inshallah. But before we do anything else, should we straight go to the quiz of the day?
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Quiz of the day. Come on then, let's see what's the question for today. The question is, in which part of the Holy Quran is Suratul Fath? Surah Fath. Have you heard that name before? Surah Fath. In which part of the Quran is Surah Fath? You need to find it in the Quran. MashaAllah, in the studio, we have been joined by a few kids. Two of them are going to get ready, inshallah, shortly. But one has already joined us. He's sitting with us. Let's quickly go and find out who has joined us in the studio. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
MashaAllah, Aban is back here again. How are you doing, Aban?
Good.
MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. And alhamdulillah, someone has already joined us in the studio. She's a little baby. We're going to find out who that person is in a bit. We're going to talk to her, inshallah. But before we do that, let's quickly go to our first main segment of the day, My Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Subhanallah, in this segment we get to learn so many beautiful things about our faith, about Islam. This is where we get chance to learn about such things that express the greatness of Islam. And today we have a beautiful topic. At the same time, I'm going to share with you some important facts, something that took place centuries ago, long, long time ago. But it was a very important time for the Muslims. Very historical moment. It was a very crucial time. Muslims had to go through such a big trial of that time. It was a hard moment. What is that? That is something we're going to be talking about today, inshallah. But before we do that, let's ask Aban, have a random guess what we're going to talk about today. Is have a random guess, no, three guesses. Let's see if you can. It's something to do with your character, something you should have in your character. And I'm, you know, like the way I'm talking to you, I'm giving you a clue as well. Something you should have in your character. When do you do this?
Is it Eid al-Fitr?
Is it, do you do this on Eid al-Fitr?
No.
Look, when you're excited and when you up for a challenge, what do you need to have to actually complete that challenge?
Confidence.
So let's look at the title then. What's the topic today? Self-belief and confidence. Oh. We're going to talk about self-belief and confidence, how important it is for us to have self-belief and confidence. What does it mean? And how what do we need to do to build our confidence? So these are such things we're going to be talking about today, inshallah. But before we do anything else, we have been joined by someone who's just small. How old are you?
5
year old, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
What's your name?
Maryam Iqbal.
Maryam Iqbal, mashallah. First of all, thank you for joining us today. Are you excited? Are you happy to come? When did you find out that you need to come here?
I don't know.
When did your dad tell you that you need to, you've been invited to this program? You just found out now? Or did she know yesterday, last night? Just today after school? You just found out after school? That's a great surprise, man. MashaAllah. First of all, Maryam, thank you for coming and joining us in I Love Islam program. Today, we're going to have some fun. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
MashaAllah. And we're going to be talking to you. We're going to find out what you do as well. MashaAllah, we have Maryam who's joined us for the first time in the I Love Islam program. MashaAllah. And she's a very cute girl. She goes to madrasa as well. And maybe if she wants, she can read something to us. Do you know any naat?
Yeah.
You know naat? Yeah. And I know one thing about you. Should I share it? You've got a loud box. You normally speak so loud. What's happened today?
Don't know.
You don't know? Okay, should we try to bring that voice back out? Yeah, should we try it? Okay, then we're going to look at the camera again. And which program are we in?
I Love Islam.
I Love Islam. And we're going to come back to Maryam shortly. And I want to get her to read something to us, inshallah. She's going to tell us how's her experience about madrasa and what she likes doing most. We're going to talk to her in a bit, inshallah. Well, should we quickly go to our topic? We have Aban here as well. Aban, today we said we're going to talk about self-belief and confidence. It is important for us that we have confidence, we have self-belief. What does it mean? Yeah. Let me give you an example today. It's an extraordinary example. Okay, Maryam and Aban, I'm going to be sharing a little story with you. I want to share with you some beautiful facts about an historic event, something huge that took place. I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to mention some numbers. Yeah, I'm going to say some numbers. I'm going to say some names of place as well. And I want you to remember, because once I've mentioned the story, then I'm going to ask you some questions. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Come on then, everyone. All the kids, listen to it carefully now. Be switched on. By the way, before I actually start the topic, can I quickly remind everyone? Oh, mashallah, we've already got some answers. It looks like the question was easy today. Did you know the answer?
No.
Where is Surah Fath in the Quran? Do you think you know the answer?
No.
No? Come on then. We have few kids who already replied. We have Inaya from Oldham. She's replied and she gave the correct answer. Well done, Inaya. MashaAllah. She's given a screenshot of the Quran page as well. MashaAllah. That's good. We have Haris Bhatti from Glasgow and he's got it correct as well. MashaAllah. And we have Hamza Raza and Sumayya Nadeem from London, they've got it right as well. That's a hat-trick. Yeah. Hat-trick of correct answers. MashaAllah, well done all of you. Oh, we've got a few more messages here. They just appeared. MashaAllah. Come on then, we've got Arslan Ahmed from Rochdale. And you've also got it right as well. Well done. We have Musab from Watford. You got the correct answer as well. We have Hasnain from Rochdale. You've got it right. MashaAllah, all of you getting it right today. What's going on? Obviously, those who've just joined us who are not aware, I will give the answer out at the end of the program. Obviously, if I give you the answer now, everyone's going to find out. We have to keep it a secret. What do you think? Should we keep it a secret?
Yeah.
Maryam says we have to keep the answer a secret. We can't tell everyone yet. So everyone needs to guess the answer. So you need to tell us which para is Surah Fath in. Hey, that's the question, inshallah. Now, let's get to the story then. Who's ready for the story? Are you ready for the story time?
Yeah.
Come on then, Aban. Both of you pay attention now. We're ready for a story time now. Right, I'm going to take you back long time ago on 17th of Ramadan, 2nd Hijri, so 2nd Islamic year. It is the beautiful month of Ramadan. However, it was the heat, the desert area of Arab. It was so hot and blazing. People were struggling. And an historic event took place. Something that is heartbreaking. Whenever you talk about it, it's heartbreaking. It's is something that, you know, is, if you look at it, you know, how it turned out to be initially, you know, that was a nice thing. Yeah. What happened, though, this was an early time when Muslims were facing oppression. There were people in the community who were not Muslims. They didn't like Muslims and they used to give them very hard time. They did not like that Islam is spreading. So what happened on this day, 17th of Ramadan, this marks the first ever battle that Muslims took part in. The first ever battle, which is known as Battle of Badr. What is it called?
Battle of Badr.
Battle of Badr. Have you heard it before? No. Have you heard it before?
No.
Okay, so both of these kids have not heard Battle of Badr. What about you, all you kids? Have you heard of Battle of Badr? Have you heard that name before? If not, then please listen to it. Because it's a very historic place. Badr is actually a place. It's the name of a place. Badr. What happened on 17th of Ramadan, Muslims, when they left from Madinatul Munawwara, the city of Medina, the city of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when they traveled from here all the way, when they reached at the place called Badr. And this is very far from Makkah Sharif, by the way. So what happened? There they faced a battle. So just to give you an idea, Muslims were very less in number. There were only 313 Muslims. How many Muslims?
300.
313 Muslims. Only 313 Muslims were there at the Battle of Badr. And if you look at that, you know, obviously we're talking about battle, aren't we? So what do you expect in a battle? These days, there's a like a different concept that we have in a battle. What do we see in a battle generally? What would you expect in a battle?
Swords and fighting.
Swords and fighting. It's not a nice environment, is it?
No.
Yeah, it's not a nice environment. Bloodshed. But sometimes people get forced to get into that situation. And for their own defense, for their own protection. So you have to stand there firm. You can't just run away. You have to face the situation. And that's how it was. It was a tough time. On one side, Muslims were only 313. And they had 70 camels. They had camels with them.
Yeah.
And if you look at their weapons, they had bow and arrows. But they were broken. They were old and broken. They weren't really strong. You could say they weren't really made or ready, you know, like fresh, new artillery, weapons for the battle. They weren't like them. They were old things. They had bow and arrows, but they were old and broken. And one thing they had though, they had passion. They had confidence. They had self-belief. They had belief in Allah Ta'ala. They knew that we have Allah and the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam. So if you look at the manpower, they were only 313. And now let's look at the other side. The enemies who were there, those who wanted to, astaghfirullah, they wanted to destroy Islam. They wanted to, you know, kill all the Muslims, astaghfirullah. They had a very evil mindset. Then people, if you compare to the number, Muslims were only 313. That's three times more people. That's like quite scary now. Yeah, the situation is looking very bad. Yeah, Muslims are only 313. And if you look at their weapons or the things that they had with them, yeah, these people, they had 100 fleet horses. What are fleet horses? These are special trained war horses. They were special trained horses. How many did they have? 100 of them. And these people, they had camels, best breed camels. They were like really expensive and, you know, top quality camels. Yeah. And they had so much stocks of food. They had so many other weaponry things before with them. And because they had so many camels, so what are they going to eat and drink throughout the time that they're on the journey? Now, these people, they used to slaughter camels every night. Now, for all them people, and they used to enjoy, they used to have a party. They used to have fun, they used to have music and dance because they were not Muslims. They used to have their own rituals and activities they used to do. And in their own mind was that we are so big, we are so large in number, we're going to win the battle. Today, astaghfirullah, they had that mindset that they're going to get rid of Islam. That's the mindset they came with. And on this side, on the Muslim side, they were only 313. These were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, was also present there in this battle, physically there. Allahu Akbar. So now, before we go further, we have been joined by another kid who's come to the studio, and it's a regular face here. Let's quickly see who's joined us today. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, Nomar Raza is back here again. MashaAllah, how are you doing?
Excellent.
MashaAllah, we have Nomar Raza, we have Aban, and we have little Maryam with us as well. And we're going to have some fun. I'm sharing a story with you, then I'm going to come back to them again. Inshallah, then we're going to have some quiz as well. So on one side, Noman and Aban especially, one side we have how many Muslims?
313.
They have?
100
horses. And Muslims have around 70 camels.
But camels are slow, so how would they use them?
Well, Aban thinks camels are slow. Maybe we need to take him to a desert one day and make him have a race with a camel. What do you think?
Yeah.
That's going to be fun, isn't it? Camels are not slow. When you get near them, you know, they are fast. They are fast. But remember, these are the camels of Arab. And these were trained camels for the battles. And they used to hold so much load of goods and so many stock they used to take. People used to use them to go to different countries.
Yeah, because they
could. Remember, they were the days, there was no cars. There's no aeroplanes. There was no, you know, like the long ships that we have these days. They didn't have these ones at that time. So now we've just done a quick comparison. So we've learned one important thing, that if you look at the manpower and the weapons, Muslims didn't have a great number. Yeah, but whereas the enemies, they've had a large number of people with them in the army, and they had so many weaponry. They had so many things, especially they had 100 war horses. Look like the non-Muslims or disbelievers, they outnumbered the Muslims at that time in this battle. However, what did the Muslims have? Muslims had the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam with them. Muslims had belief in Allah and his Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They had that faith. They had that confidence. Regardless of how the situation is, they had faith, they had confidence, they had self-belief. Why do they have self-belief? Because they knew that they are on the truth. They are on the truth. And the other people, they're on the falsehood. They're not true. So they knew that. They knew we are correct, we are true, we are right. They knew Allah is with us. They knew Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is with us. Subhanallah. Now something extraordinary happened here. So many things took place here that are extraordinary, that are historic. But one thing what happened here, now this is something really special. Maybe, in fact, all of you probably have not heard this before. Where does this start from? It starts from first the dua of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Remember, it's 17th of Ramadan when this event took place. The night was very critical. Whereas the companions, everyone else was resting, our beloved Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam spent the whole night in worship. He spent the whole night reading nafal prayer and asking Allah ta'ala for help, crying in the court of Allah. This was a very historic day. Tomorrow's going to be the day of battle. Anything can happen. And Muslims didn't have much food to have. It was the heat of the Arab, and there were only few people, 313 compared to the non-believers. So it was so tough for them, so hard for them. But they had the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala with them. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala spent a whole night in worshipping Allah ta'ala and crying in the court of Allah ta'ala. Indeed, that was a very historic moment, in the history. And then on the day of battle of Badr, 17th of Ramadan, during the day, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam raised his hands and asked Allah ta'ala in his court, ask Allah ta'ala for help. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam cried in the court of Allah, asked for help, asked for assistance, because it was so hard. And Allahu Akbar, Prophet, just imagine the power of those words that Prophet sallallahu ta'ala asked in the court of Allah, Allahu Akbar, I can't even imagine, you know, the depth of those words. And Prophet sallallahu ta'ala was so involved in the dua, talking to Allah ta'ala, asking for assistance, asking for help for the Muslims, asking for the protection. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala had a beautiful blessed shawl around his, you know, his blessed body. And during the dua, his shawl, you know, because he was so engaged in the dua, this shawl went on the floor. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, who's the first caliph of Islam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he quickly came, he picked up the shawl and he wrapped it around the blessed neck of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And then, just imagine, the Sahaba, the companions over there, they can see Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, you're crying and asking in the court of Allah ta'ala for help and assistance. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he picked up the blessed shawl of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam and he wrapped around the blessed neck of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, now indeed the way you have asked the court of Allah, definitely your dua will be answered and we will see the result of your dua. You know, he was trying to console the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam at that time of difficulty. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Then do you know what happened? Do you want to know the power of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? In this battle, Muslims were only 313. Allahu Akbar. What happened? Due to the power of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. On the day of Badr, the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam descended. The angel Jibra'il, he came down. Allahu Akbar. For subhanallah, he came not alone. The angel came with the army of angels, not humans. The angel came with his army, with the angel, with the army of angels. And there were different groups of angels who came to the earth to help the Muslims. Remember, angels are a creation that we can't normally see. They're made out of light. They're not human beings. Angels don't eat or drink anything. They're a special creation, yeah? And angels, they're a special creation of Allah Ta'ala. They came for the help of the Muslims. There were first, when the first group of angels came, there were 1,000 of them. How many?
1,000.
1,000 angels came for the help of the Muslims. Then later, around 3,000 angels descended. And then later, it is mentioned, it is reported, that 5,000 angels descended. Allahu Akbar. Whereas Muslims could only see themselves and they could see the enemies who were outnumbered. They were so large and normally that brings fear.
Yeah.
But the enemies, they could see something else. They could see angels in human form and they could see Muslims are in a large number. They got so scared. They were feared. And in the battle, when the battle started, when Muslims were right in the middle of the battle, when people were fighting with the swords at that time, there were Muslims, they witnessed this, they were saying that when we sliced the sword, we didn't even touch that person, and that person fell on the floor. Because it was the angels who were taking part in the battle as well. The angel Jibreel alayhi salam was also part of the battle. Allahu Akbar. From here we learn that when you have belief, when you are on the truth, regardless of, you know, how many people are on your side and how many people are on the other side, if you're on truth, if you're on haq, you are, you know, you're not with the wrong, you're on the truth, you're on the right, even if you're alone, stand strong, be firm, have confidence, you know, face the difficulties, be strong because you're on the truth. Never be scared. Never be scared. Never have fear about the people. And if you are firm, if you are strong, then what happens? The help of Allah Ta'ala comes. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. In this battle, you know what happened? You want to know what was the result in this battle? About this battle, Muslims won it. Muslims won this battle. Although they were only 313, why did they win the battle? Because they were true Muslims. They were true companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the angels came to help the Muslims. Because they, you know, these were people who were noble, who were special. They had iman, they had faith. Muslims all around the world, they mark 17th of Ramadan, the day of remembrance of those companions who took part in the Battle of Badr. And some from these 313, you know, some of them, they were martyred. They actually passed away. They were made shaheed. These were great people. They sacrificed their lives for Islam. Now, let's take a moment and, you know, pray in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, we ask you to shower your countless mercy, your rahmah upon the resting place of the companions of the Battle of Badr. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, today I shared with you some really interesting facts from the Battle of Badr. Badr obviously is a huge topic. We can't discuss all of them things, especially as a kids program. I selected a few points for you. Now I'm going to turn to the kids.
Yes.
Now let's see who's been paying attention. Who do we start off with?
Me.
Who wants the first question?
Me.
Do you want the first question? Oh, let's do a deal then. I'll ask you a question, you can put your hand up.
Yeah.
Who's ready?
Me.
Okay. Can someone tell me what was the Ramadan date of the Battle of Badr?
17.
Oh, you're supposed to put your hand up.
I put my hand up though.
I think you should lose all the points before starting again.
The 17th.
17th of Ramadan. Which Ramadan was it?
17th
of Ramadan. And how many Muslims were there? This is for Maryam.
The 800.
313. 313. Say 303. Say it loud. 313 Muslims were there in the Battle of Badr. They were Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. What do we learn from this incident? Yeah. Whereas initially Muslims were only less, and the enemy was so much more. They had more army as well. They had more weapons. Yeah. Even then Muslims won the battle. Why did they win the battle? Because they had true faith. They were true Muslims. They believed in Allah. They believed in the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. They knew that Allah ta'ala will help us. Allah Almighty will protect us. They had that belief. They were not scared. Even though they were hungry, it's not an easy thing. Yeah, anything could have happened. They could have not returned back home. But when they returned back to Madinatul Munawwara, they were the victorious. They were the winners. They won the battle. That's because they were firm in the teaching of Islam. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, today we had a very detailed discussion about Battle of Badr. So I got carried away. There's quite a few segments left. I'm going to go back to them now. We're going to go straight to our segments now. So we're going to have some quiz in the segments as
well. Which one do we
just do? By the way, before we do anything else, Maryam, do you want to read something to us today? What do you read in Madrasa? Are you reading Qaida, Quran Pak? Are you reading Ali Ba Tasa?
I passed Qaida.
Yeah,
Surah Baqarah and Surah Mulk.
You're on Surah Baqarah, mashallah. And have you completed Surah Baqarah or you started it? Which para is Surah Mulk?
Second para.
First para. And second para as well. Because it's so long, isn't it? Surah Baqarah is really long, isn't it? And Surah Mulk is in 29th para. Okay. Surah Baqarah is in the first para, first, second and half of third para as well. So it's a really long Surah Baqarah, mashallah. And what's the first Surah of the Quran? Before Surah Baqarah, the small Surah, what's that one called?
Tikaita.
Something you read in namaz. It starts with F or Fa. Surah?
Fatiha.
Surah Fatiha, mashallah. Well done, mashallah. We've just completed My Islam. Now we're going to move on to our next segment, which is called Islamic Heroes.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Islamic Heroes. Alhamdulillah, in this segment, we get a chance to learn about some great personalities of Islam. Today, we have a very, you know, beautiful personality, which, you know, when I was reading upon this personality, I read a phrase, a title of his, has mountain of patience. In Urdu, the word was sabr ka pahar. He was a mountain of patience. Allahu Akbar, when he went through so much difficulty in life, he did not shake, he did not lose his faith, he would remain firm upon Islam. This great personality we are going to talk about, he's one of the top 10 Sahaba, those 10 companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who directly by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam were given the glad news, the guarantee for the entry to Jannah. He's one of them, from the 10 top Sahaba, Sahaba Ikram, Alim Ridwan. And Alhamdulillah, we have discussed some of the great personalities in the previous episodes. Today, we have another great personality we're going to talk about. Who that personality is, I'm going to get the kids to have a little guess, but I'm going to guess first. I'm going to guess they're not going to get it right. They're going to prove me wrong.
Is it the fourth Sahaba? No. I mean,
it's not the fourth Caliph of Islam.
Is it the fifth Caliph of Islam?
It's not the fifth. There's four Caliph of Islam. Yeah, there are four caliphs of Islam. And fifth is Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He had a short period of his caliphate, but normally the scholars consider that as part of the caliphate of Sayyidina Imam, his own father, Sayyidina Ali. So normally when we mention four caliphs of Islam. Then the caliphate system, it changed. And it became the system of kingdom. Yeah. So in Islam, when we say caliphs, we refer to four people. Okay, who are the four caliphs of Islam? Who's the first caliph of Islam?
Abu Bakr
Siddiq. Second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar Farooq. Third caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani. And fourth caliph, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We have four caliphs of Islam. Today we are going to talk about a great companion, and I'm going to give a challenge to Maryam today. I'm going to say a name, it won't be easy, but I want you to remember the name. I want to see how good you are in remembering this name, okay? Are you ready? Okay? Today we're going to talk about, who are we going to talk about? Let's look at the screen. We're going to talk about Sayyiduna Sa'id bin Zaid. Sayyiduna Sa'id bin Zaid. That might be a hard name to remember. Sayyiduna Sa'id bin Zaid. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is one of the top 10 Sahaba Ikram who have a high rank in Islam. Sayyid, who is this great companion? One of them I've just told you. First of all, I told you he's a companion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And that itself is one of the biggest honor someone could have. He's a companion, he's a sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Second thing I've told you, he's from the Ashra Mubashara, the 10 top sahaba who have been guaranteed by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam directly that they will go to paradise. Yeah. Third thing to keep in mind, Sayyidina Sa'id bin Zaid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is known as the mountain of patience. One of the qualities he has is that he's a mountain of patience. Now let me share a quick story with you. It's a detailed story, but I want to tell a quick story with you. This was the early time of Islam when Muslims were less in number and Muslims were struggling to express that Islam like happily in front of everyone because of the oppression. Because the people who were not Muslims at the time, they didn't like Muslims, they didn't like Islam, and they used to punish them. They used to like oppress them, they used to make life so hard for them. Yeah? They used to like taunt them, they used to like bully them. Yeah? So Muslims used to hide and worship. It was that time, it was a very difficult time that happened. Yeah? So what happened during this time, there was a group of people who were not Muslims, who were enemies of Islam, they got together, they had a meeting, and they said, Islam is spreading. And if Islam spreads, then our false religion, obviously there's a false religion, their own old religion, it's going to extinct, it's going to die. So if Islam spreads, then all our people are going to become Muslims. So we need to do something to, astaghfirullah, to get rid of Islam. That's a very evil meeting that they were having. It was so bad, it was a nice thing. So what happened in that meeting, they decided something needs to be done. And what they agreed was, this evil mindset they had was, that they agreed that the main person who is spreading Islam is Sayyidina Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, Sayyidina Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they decided that they agreed that someone needs to, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. For us, it's even hard to even say these words. Well, just to explain to everyone, they decided that someone needs to come forward and astaghfirullah, get rid of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Yeah, that's how evil these people were. So they were looking for someone, like, is there anyone, you know, who has the courage, who has the power, who is willing to take this challenge? And then one person who was there, who was not Muslim, he said, okay, I'm going to do it. He was brave, he was strong, he was furious. Yeah, so you need to listen to the story now. So he was furious and he said, I'm going to go and astaghfirullah, I'm going to go and, you know, kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to be the person. And he thought, if I do it, then I'm going to have even a bigger name. People are going to be even more scared of me. So this person, he took that challenge, which was a very evil challenge. He left from that place. He had his sword in his hand, like a sword, you know, like, oh, he's holding it up. He was having his sword held on his hand like this, looking for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, walking towards different streets and wandering in the area of the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah and looking for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was really angry. He was so furious. He wanted to go and commit this evil act. Whilst he's doing this, he's going ahead. On the way, he met a companion, and that companion said to him, oh, what's happened to you? Where are you going? Why are you so angry? That person said, astaghfirullah. He said, I'm going to find Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I'm going to get rid of him. Astaghfirullah. That's what he said. That was really evil. And because he was so angry, and this companion knew that he was proper, like a crazy person, so angry he could do anything. So he said, I'm not going to confront him. But what he said to him though, he said, look, wait, hold on. Before you go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, you need to go and see your own house. Your own sister, your own brother-in-law have accepted Islam. So you need to go and look at your own house first. So now what happened? He was told, now go and speak to your own family first. They become Muslims. Now, he was so angry. Now he became extremely angry. Now he thought, forget, I'm not going to the fine Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let me go and deal with my sister first. How dare she do this? How dare she leave my old religion and go and accept Islam? He was more angry now. He was so furious. He was out of senses. So now he went quickly to, he changed the street now. He went to the house of his own sister. When he went close, he could hear some people reciting something. And that was Quran Pak being recited. He could hear some sound. Yeah. And he quickly went, he banged the door, he came inside. When the family, the sister and the brother-in-law, and there was a teacher there as well. The teacher, he hid behind the curtains or whatever it was, behind a wall or something. He hid on the side, he just stayed quiet. He was so scared of this person. But the brother-in-law and the sister were there in that house. And this person, he came, I was so angry. He said, I've heard you left the religion. Our old religion. Why did you do this? How dare you do this? He was talking to the sister. He said, the sister said to the brother, you could do whatever you want. We have chosen the truth. Yeah, Islam is a true religion. We will never leave Islam. And you know what happened? This person who came in, he was so furious. He came and he started beating up his sister. Beat them up so much. They were bruised, they had blood everywhere. There was, they were in pain. Why did they go through that pain? Because they are Muslims. Just because they're Muslims, they had to face that difficulty. And from who? From their own brother, from their own brother-in-law. That was so sad time that it was so difficult for them. And even then, you know what they said? The brother-in-law and the sister. They said, you can do whatever you want. Even then, we will never leave Islam. We have accepted Islam. We are Muslims and we will stay Muslims. Allahu Akbar. Now, these were some powerful words. And now the brother was even more angry. He thought, what's going on? I've hit him so much. Even then, they're not scared. So what happened? He saw some form of pieces of Quran Pak. He saw, what is that? Is that what you were reading? What is it? Tell me what you were reading. Show me. The sister said, you're not clean. First, you need to go and perform ghusl. Go wash yourself. Clean yourself. Because Quran is a sacred text. We are Muslims have to be in the state of wuzu. You're not a clean person. Go first, wash yourself. So he had to perform ghusl or washed himself. He came back. Then there was some part of the Surah Taha, one of the chapter of the Quran, some parts of the Quran, and they recited the sister or brother-in-law or either himself. He read those words or he heard those words being recited from the Quran. And you know, as soon as he heard those words, his heart melted. His heart melted. Now, he fell in love with the Quran. Someone who left home to commit something really evil, he's having a change of heart. He said, tell me where is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to go and see him. So then when they made him aware, he had the sword upheld like this. Now in the same mood, he went to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions were there. They thought, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen? They thought, that's it, this person has come, he's going to commit evil. So they were ready for anything. They were ready for backlash. They were ready for fights. But Prophet ﷺ said, no, let him come. And when he came, he accepted Islam. That person who was against Islam, he now became a Muslim. Do you know who this person was? This person is none other than the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Farooq Azam, Allahu Akbar, he accepted Islam. Now, because our topic is Sayyidina Sa'id bin Zayd, that brother-in-law who got beaten up by Sayyidina Umar, that is Sa'id bin Zayd. That is Sayyidina Sa'id bin Zayd. He was beaten up, he was bruised up, he had blood everywhere. But he did not leave Islam. This is his faith, this is the strength of faith, this is his love and loyalty for Islam. Allahu Akbar, the companions, the scholar, the great Sahaba, Alim Ridwan, they didn't have an easy time. They went through a lot of difficulty, a lot of problems, a lot of battles, a lot of pain. But even then, they remained firm on Islam. And that's a message for all of us. All of you kids who are watching this program, we need to make sure whatever happens in life, we need to remain firm upon the teaching of Islam. MashaAllah, that was a beautiful thing that we learned today. Now, before we do anything else, now we've got a segment to go through. Does anyone know which segment it is? In which we play kids' videos. What is it called?
Show Your Talent.
Show Your Talent. Come on then. Let's go straight to the segment, Show Your Talent.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد سيد الكونين وثق عليه والفريقين من عرب ومن
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. My name is Muhammad Ziad Patel. I am 10 years old and I am from Madrasatul Madina, Preston. I am going to recite a naat called Tala al-Badru. Tala al-Badru alayna min saniyatil wada wajaba ash-shukru alayna ما دعا لله دا أيها المبعوث فينا جئت بالأمر المطاع جئت شرفت المدينة مرحبا يا خير دا
My name is Maliha, Madrasatul Madina, Preston. I am going to recite a hadith. Sayyidina Damura, radiallahu anhu, has narrated that the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has stated, spend more money on your family in Ramadan, because spending in Ramadan is like spending in the path of Allah, Azza wa Jal. I love Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Farhan Patel. I am 11 years old, and today I'm going to be reciting Surah 13. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wat-tini waz-zaytun. وتور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. I love Islam.
My name is Maria. I'm from Preston, Mujahidul Medina. There are four names of the sacred month: Ramadan, the month of patience, the month of sympathy, the month of increased sustenance.
My name is Fatima. I'm from Preston in Mujahidul Medina. I love Islam.
My name is Shazim. I will be reciting Salatu Salam. Mustafa. Jani Rahman Bila Ko Salam Jama'i Bazami Hidayat Bila Ko Salam Ham Garibo Ke Aka Bebe Hadduru Ham Fakiro Ke Sarwat Bila Ko Salam Mustafa Jani Rahman Bila Ko Salam Shama'i Bazami Hidayat Bila Ko Salam Duro Nazadi Ke Sunne Wale Ho Kan Kane Lale Karamat Pela Ko Salam Mustafa Jani Rahman Pela Ko Salam Mustafa Jani Rahman Pela Ko Salam Shama'i Bazami Hidayat Pela Ko Salam.
I love Islam.
Subhanallah, you saw the talent in Preston. MashaAllah, the kids, they did really well there. It's not easy to stand in front of the camera, to speak, to say anything. It's not easy. But MashaAllah, all of you, no, boys, all of you, whoever was involved, MashaAllah, you did really good there. May Allah bless you and keep reciting Quran, keep reciting Naat, and keep giving some beautiful messages, inshallah. And you never know, one day we might invite you to our studio as well, inshallah. Who wants to come? From the kids out there, who wants to join us in the studio? If you let us know, you never know, we might be able to make arrangements and invite you here in the studio. Who wants to come and join the I Love Islam program from the studio? You want to come here again? MashaAllah. Come on then, before we go to the segment, let's quickly have a naat, inshallah. And I want to see Maryam joining in as well. Come on then. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي غير الله محمد صلى الله لا إله إلا الله
ديني صدقي سر جو کو دین ملا بے دینوں نے کلمہ پرا لا الہ الا اللہ حسبی ربی جل اللہ ما فی قلبی غیر اللہ
نور محمد صلی اللہ
لا الہ
Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah, during this kalam I've discovered something. Have a guess.
Maryam can read it.
Yes, we've discovered Maryam knows this naat. MashaAllah. So I'm gonna request Maryam now. She's gonna read naat that we're gonna join you. Just the beginning part, the Hasbi Rabbi Jalallah part. So repeat that a few times. Okay? And look over there now. Look over there. Now you read, we're gonna join with you. Come on, start it. You start it. How does it go?
Hasbi Rabbi Jalla ma fi qalbi ayra nuri Muhammad sallallahu ilaha illa Hasbi Rabbi Jalla ma fi qalbi ayra nuri Muhammad sallallahu
Subhanallah, that was so well recited. MashaAllah. Well done, Maryam. You knew it. Why were you hiding all that time?
I wasn't.
You weren't hiding. MashaAllah. Tell me, can you read a little from Surah Mulk as well?
Okay. تبارك بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا والعزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في الرحمن من تفاوت
سبحان الله that was so nice she's only 5-year-old mashallah for her age yeah, so nice and I heard How much do you know?
A lot.
You know a lot? Do you know the whole surah or most of it?
Most of it, not all.
Most of it, mashallah. That's really good. She is memorizing Suratul Mulk. Mashallah. Well done to Maryam and whoever is helping Maryam. Yeah, that's so good. Mashallah. You're really, really good for your age. Your pronunciation is good for your age, mashallah. Well done. You got your hand up?
For Hasbi Rabbi Jalallah, I know the part where it talks about Sayyiduna Umar.
Oh, mashallah, today we were learning that story, weren't we? Come on, then read that poem as well, then we're going to go to the next segment. Come on.
Hasbi Rabbi
Jalallah ma fi qalbi ayyallah Nuri Muhammad sallallahu la ilaha illallah
Apni behen se bole Umar Ye to bata kya karti thi میرے آنے سے پہلے کیا چپکے پڑھتی تھی اپنی بہن سے بول عمر یہ تو بتا کیا کرتی تھی میرے آنے سے پہلے کیا چپکے پڑھتی تھی جب بہن قرآن پڑھا سن کے کلام پاک خدا دل یہ عمر کا بولا اٹھا لا الہ الا اللہ حسبی ربی جل اللہ ما فی قلبی غیر اللہ نور محمد صلی اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم MashaAllah, you discovered the hidden talent in Maryam there. MashaAllah, she knows few knots as well. She's just been shy today. She also been learning some surah of the Quran, from the Quran as well, especially Surah Al-Mulk. She's trying to memorize it. I'm so impressed. MashaAllah. Can everyone say MashaAllah?
MashaAllah.
SubhanAllah. With kids especially, for everyone, but especially kids, when you see them perform really good, we should all say MashaAllah, so they are protected from evil eye, inshallah. Today, we're going to move on to our next segment, then we're going to discuss the topic, inshallah. So what is our next segment? Anyone remember the name? Sunnah
and Manas.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Sunnah and Manners. SubhanAllah, in this segment, we get a chance to learn about the beautiful Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those things that we can apply in our daily life. We can do them over and over again in our life, every day, every week, every month. Those things that if we do them with the intention to act upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then inshallah this act will increase our love and closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. SubhanAllah, we have a very beautiful topic today. It's a topic that you probably wouldn't think normally, that the Sunnah of this topic as well. Well, what could it be? Something we do every day. You guys do it every day. Even Maryam does it every day. What do you do every day? There's so many sunnah we do every day. What could it be?
Smiling.
Smiling is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sitting. But that's not the topic.
Sitting.
Yeah.
Sitting. Close.
Eating sunnah food.
We did last time.
Say again.
Eating sunnah food.
Eating sunnah food. MashaAllah, that's a good try. But that's not the topic as well. What could it be?
Fasting.
It's something that when Maryam, when you left home.
Yeah.
When you came here, you did that on the way.
Oh, is it? Voodoo.
It's not voodoo.
Are we supposed to know what she did though?
All of you did it.
Came in.
All of you did it. I did it as well. All of us do it whenever we leave home.
We say Hudafis.
Anything else? What could it be? Come on. Remember, I did give you a clue. It's something that you don't really, your mind doesn't go to that. But it's something that's very obvious. When I tell you the answer, it's like, oh, obvious. All of us do it. I've not seen a person
walking.
Saying,
walking.
Walking.
Do you
that's close.
Do that, before?
That is close.
Driving.
Driving. No, that's far now. Walking is something you did, but before walking, before you left home, when you were getting ready, is part of that process.
Putting your coat on.
No.
Get ready. They put your jubba scarf on.
Yeah, get ready, put your jubba scarf on. But what else do you do?
Wudu.
Other than these, there's something else you do as well.
Dua.
Dua.
Look, when you're getting yourself ready, what do? You put a scarf on. Obviously for the girls, you put a scarf on, jubba on.
Get
what
ready.
Else do you do?
Get
All
ready.
Of us do it.
Get ready.
Look, the clue is
it's
kids, adults, old people,
clean.
Everyone does
clean.
It.
What about babies?
Home. Clean.
Babies, they don't have to do it, but they do it as well. Parents
clean.
Do it for them.
Clean.
Oh, put your shoes on.
Put your shoes on, mashallah. That's the topic today. Wearing shoes, subhanallah. Did you know there are rules about wearing shoes as well? We are Muslims and Islam teaches us how to live our life. And shoes is one of them. Wearing shoes. Well done, mashallah. Maryam has been the superstar today. She got it right. What you guys were doing? Daydreaming.
Yeah.
Is the rosa getting to you? Well, you got your hand up. I was going to start the topic. Come on, quickly.
I got something about shoes.
You got something about the shoes?
So, shoes, whenever, like, your shoes go, like, upside down, you shouldn't really keep it up. You shouldn't put it upside down. And if someone's shoe is upside down and they didn't know, you should put it back. The right way around.
No, that's a good manner. By the way, in this segment, we're going to talk about some sunnah and manners about wearing shoes. First of all, let me share with you a saying of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved Prophet, the last and final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, said, use shoes frequently because As long as a person is wearing shoes, he is like a rider. He feels less tired. So from this hadith, we learn that we should wear shoes regularly. Keep yourself, keep your feet, inside the shoes. Then we should wear shoes most of the time, especially when you go outside. Yeah, you should take your shoes off as well when you are home. But when you go outside, especially, you should keep your shoes on. And when you're putting shoes on, it's like, when you have a ride. You're on a horse, you're having a ride. In a way, that you're riding on your shoes.
Yeah? That's true.
In a way, you're riding on your shoes because you're not walking on the floor, are you? You're on the shoes. So when you have shoes, say you're traveling somewhere. Say you go to school. If you go to school without
shoes. Do homeschooling.
Oh yeah, you do homeschooling, mashallah. So say if you're going out somewhere with your family and you're walking without shoes, will it be easy? Why is it going to be hard? One, your shoes, your feet are going to get clean, aren't they?
No, they're going to get dirty.
They're going to get dirty, yeah? So if you're walking without your shoes, one thing that is going to happen is your feet are going to get dirty, yeah? Second thing is you're going to get tired. You're going to have pain.
Yeah.
What else?
You can get hurt.
You can get hurt. There might be like a thorn or like a stone on the floor. You might get hurt. Yeah. So one, for your own safety, yeah, for your own comfort, we should wear shoes. But one thing we learned here is wearing shoes is actually a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Wearing shoes, sandals. So covering your feet, wearing something on your feet when you walk, this is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So next time we wear shoes, why should we wear shoes? Because it's a
sunnah
of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Now let's go to let's discuss some of the manners. So one thing that Noman mentioned early on, so if at home or wherever you are, if you see any shoe which is wrong way round, yeah, if you see them wrong way round, whenever you see any shoe like this, you should put them correctly. Put them the right way round. This is from the good manners. It's important that we do that, okay? So it's not a nice thing. You got shoes just, on the floor, they just, some shoes are upside down. Just put them in nice, neat order.
Everywhere.
Make them look nice. It's we Muslims, we need to be tidy. We need to be clean and tidy. So make sure, don't just throw you one shoe here and one shoe there. Or what put, should we walk, should we put shoes on our sofas?
No.
Okay, all the kids out there, if you stand on the sofas with your shoes on and on your beds, that's not a nice thing.
Your sofa or bed will get dirty.
Yeah, your sofa or your bed are going to get dirty. What about table? Can you put shoes on the table?
No.
Maryam says no. No shoes on the table because table is... Why do we have table for?
Because we eat on it.
We have food on the table. Yeah, we have food on the table. You don't want to put shoes there.
And there was someone accidentally put the chicken on the table and there was dirty mud on there.
Yeah, it'll be dirty then. The table will get dirty. So make sure you don't put your shoes on the table, on the sofas. What about socks? What about if you have socks that you didn't change for 1 year? Can you keep wearing them?
No.
You should change your socks as well. Change your socks regularly. If possible, try to put new socks every day. Yeah, and when you come home, obviously take your socks off as well. Give your feet a bit of a fresh air as well.
Some people in Pakistan don't wear shoes.
Some people don't wear shoes in Pakistan because it's a hot country. They wear it in winter. You've not been there in winter. In winter, they wear shoes.
When did they have winter?
That's a good question. When did Pakistan have winter? Well, that's for you to find out, okay? You need to let us know where it's winter in Pakistan.
They only have slippers.
They have slippers, yeah. And normally in hot countries, people wear slippers, okay? So wearing shoes and slippers is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What type of shoes should you wear? You should wear those type of shoes that respected people wear. Don't wear something that, they don't look nice, yeah? People look at you, well, what are you doing? Especially if they're old. Not if they're old. If they're old but they're clean, it's okay. But don't wear shoes, they're dirty.
They
got mud around them, they're dirty, and they have a not nice smell from them. You shouldn't wear them type of shoes.
You should wear the type of shoes.
Muslim is a clean person. So please keep that in mind. Whenever you wear shoes or clothing, wear nice and clean clothes, nice clean shoes. Normally we have so many pairs of shoes at home. Let's change them around, swap them.
And sandals.
And sandals as well. Oh, Maryam's probably got stuck of sandals, haven't you? Mm-hmm. You could probably have a shop at your house. Maryam's sandal shop.
No.
I think we need to go to your house and count your sandals.
In the garden, we
you
have
got so many sandals, and they have to like put them in the garden as well.
In the shed.
What's going on? No, oh, I think you got different sandals for your garden.
We do have a shed, but it's long.
She's got different sandals for rain. Have you got them wellies? Them big. Yeah. You got for the rain on snow.
Yeah, we do have boots.
We normally we wear different type of shoes, don't we? So for whatever we do, one thing I want you to remember today is when we wear shoes or sandals, it is sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to start with the right foot. Okay, so put in the right shoe in first. Okay, the right foot. Obviously, don't put the left foot in the right shoe. Yeah? You don't put the left foot in the right shoe. You put the right foot in the right shoe. So which shoe should you put on first?
The right shoe.
The right one. Yeah, remember that. I'm going to give you guys a little challenge as well. So please pay attention. So it's sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to wear the right one first, the right shoe, then the left one. And when you take them off, when you take the shoes off,
you take the right one off.
Take the left one. It's the opposite. It's the opposite, okay? So when you take it off, so if this is my right hand, yeah? This is my right hand, this is my left hand. So when you put your shoes on, you put the right one first, then the left one. Then when you take it off, you take off the left one first, then the right one. Okay, this is the sunnah and manner of wearing and taking shoes off. Now, the challenge. Wait, the challenge is going to come first.
I've got a question.
You want to say something? Come on then.
Is it like when you come into the mosque, you come with your right foot first in, and then when you leave the mosque, you leave with your left, or you take your left foot out?
MashaAllah, that's a good point you mentioned, because I was going to say the same, similar thing. I'm going to put them together now. One out of one is two, isn't it? Let's put the first thing and second thing together. So you got the shoes and you got masjid. So now the quiz is that you've gone to the masjid. It is sunnah to enter the masjid with
your right foot
first. Yeah. So when you went to the masjid, when you take your shoes off though, which one are you going to take off first?
Left.
You're going to take off the left one, aren't you? You're going to take the left shoe off first. But then when you enter the masjid, you took your shoe off and you're going to enter the masjid. You took your left shoe off. So like this, you're going to enter with the left one.
Yeah.
And then you're going to enter with the second one, which is going to be the right. Yeah. And then when you come out of the masjid, it is sunnah to leave the masjid with
the left foot
first. Yeah. But you're going to put a shoe on, aren't you? So you need to put the right one first. So what do you do? When you enter the masjid and leave the masjid, and you're going to put the right foot out first to put the shoe on, but you're not following the sunnah of taking the left out first. What do we do? How do we solve this puzzle? Any idea? Do you understand the question though?
Take off left foot and the right foot.
Take both of them out. That's a good idea.
But not foot.
Take both of them out and leave yourself inside. Not take yourself out as well. What do you do? Okay. Come on. Say if this was like a boundary line, and you're inside the masjid, the shoes are outside the masjid, and you want to put right shoe in first, yeah, you want to act upon that sunnah, but you also want to act upon the sunnah of leaving the masjid with the left foot. How do you do both? How can you do two in one?
You just go outside with your left foot and then put your...
In a way, he's right. What you should do, you leave the masjid first with the left foot, but place your foot on top of the shoe. Yeah. Don't put it inside the shoe. Just put it on top of the shoe for a few seconds. Then take the right foot out from the masjid. Now put the first right foot in first. Okay? So that's the way. So alhamdulillah, we've had a very productive day. But I'm going to leave you with this puzzle. I think I've answered it as well, haven't I?
Yeah.
So when you leave masjid, leave with the left foot first, but place it on top of the shoe. Then take the right foot out and then put the right foot in first. That is, you're fulfilling the both sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by leaving the masjid the right way and entering, putting the shoes on in the right way as well. MashaAllah, today we had a very nice, beautiful day. MashaAllah, we had Maryam in the studio as well. She read a naat as well, and she recited some of the verses of Surah Al-Mulk as well. MashaAllah, I hope you enjoyed the program today. Did you enjoy it? Yeah. MashaAllah. So we're going to take a leave. Inshallah, we'll be back here again. Before we leave, can I request all of you and all the kids out there, we're going to say, I love Islam. We're going to say, I love Islam in a loud voice, 3 times. Okay? I'm going to see how much energy you've got. Oh, we forgot the answer. We forgot to give the answer. What's going on today? We're getting carried away today. We're excited. Mariam's in the studio today. We got excited. Okay, the question was, in which para is Suratul Fath in? Okay, what's the answer then? Let's look at the screen. The answer is para 26. MashaAllah, all the kids who got the correct answer, well done everyone. MashaAllah, especially those kids who actually made the effort in, who opened the Quran and found Suratul Fath. Maybe some people heard this name first time and they found that surah and they looked at which para it is in. MashaAllah, well done everyone. May Allah bless you. Before we go, let's say I love Islam. Look at the camera there now. Let's look at the screen over there. Everyone's going to say I love Islam. 1, 2, 3. I love
Islam.
I love
Islam.
I love
Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.